Ah, not sure. Okay, so what up, street dogs? There, Kip. All right. So some quick turbo thought. This one is about the good and the bad. So why is it that we desire the good in life without the bad? And also, is it possible to have the good without the bad? So some thoughts. So some first thought is, the good cannot exist without the bad, and vice versa. If you think about it from a yin yang approach, so for example, coffee is a good example, right? So coffee has extremely great upside, right? Like more vigor, more power, more energy, more focus, more elevated thoughts, whatever. But also a huge downside, coffee, caffeine dependency, the days that you don't have coffee, really extremely bad headaches, kind of migraine, muscle tension, overall lack of vigor and stuff like that, sleep restlessness and stuff like that. But for me, assuming that life is more interesting when it's dynamic, it's better. I mean, my thought is, the best life is a life with extreme, extreme highs and extreme, extreme lows. And also a realization too is, on the path onto greatness, one must have also great pain as an ingredient towards it. So for example, the greater social risks you take, the greater the chance that you're going to offend somebody or you're going to feel bad or whatever. And also same where with business ventures, right? The greater you attempt something insanely epic, also the greater chance for you to have a massive failure, right? So even Elon Musk, the reason why Elon is so admirable, this a lot of people don't get, right? I think it's good to read his read the biography on him. I forgot the guy who wrote it, but anyways, he put his own skin in the game, his own money in the game, where after he sold PayPal, did he make 20 million, 200 million, whatever? He staked pretty much all of his money on Tesla and SpaceX. And even when they were doing the SpaceX test flights or whatever, he essentially, he had two or three test attempts. And then essentially on the last attempt, he essentially ran out of money. And somehow he was able to miraculously scrap together a little bit more money for the final launch, which succeeded, which made him, at least not go into bankruptcy. So, for myself, I'm not 100% interested in staking my entire 100% of my net worth into an uncertain business venture. That's not really my personal ethos. Even for me, right? I think one thing I'm starting to realize too is, certainly it's always changing, but my initial impetus in life, especially as a kid, where I never cared for money and stuff like that, it was just I always I imagine, right? It's if I could have a job that I got paid $100 an hour, $200 an hour, $300 an hour, I would just work 1 hour and just chill for the rest of the week, right? And for me, what was more interesting was my dream was to have a life of travel, to go abroad, to not have a 9-to-5 job, not work for the man. And I'm quite happy I achieved my life goal, but sometimes you kind of forget what your initial impetus was. And even now, right? I spent the last few days kind of doing a mild detox from coffee, not 100%, but greatly reduced caffeine intake, and it certainly was a very arduous experience, in which, man, there's like some parts, it's like I'm so much pain, right? I'm like, am I dying? Fortunately, I'm not. And yeah, and so, you know, just like even a stoic entrepreneurship thought or a philosophical thought, right, is maybe even having the thought about death is a healthy one. Is like, even every once in a while to have a thought is like, am I gonna die or am I dying? It's good because then you just think to yourself, if that were in fact the case, if this was your last day on earth, right, like what would you do, what would you not do, right? So for myself currently, right, my main preoccupations is, you know, vlogging, coming up with turbo thoughts, sharing great ideas, you know, supporting Cindy to the maximum, and also now being as great of a father I can to Seneca is kind of my life goal. And essentially trying my best to live every single day to the max, right? Whether it be physical, creative, artistic, mental, powerlifting, whatever it may be. And I don't want to leave any rock unturned. I don't want to leave anything on the table. So a lot of people in America, right, and I think in general, right, like people like the idea of having upside without downside, but I'm starting to think it's like, in order to increase the maximum extent of the upside, you must also conversely increase or decrease whatever the maximum amount of downside is possible. So even if you think about greatness, right, like if you want to become insanely great, like even Elon has a funny quote, it's like, what's it like being an entrepreneur? He's like, it's like chewing glass and staring into the abyss. And when people are like, oh, everyone wants to be you, Eli, he's like, no, you don't want my life. And also, I do think that's a wise thing, where you're at a certain point in which you do not desire anyone else's life but your own. Like once you get that fully in the ground, and then you don't want to become anyone else but yourself, consider yourself advanced or blessed, because that's the ultimate, like for me currently, myself, Eric Kim. I mean, the only people I really look up to is like, what? Steve Jobs, Kanye, Elon Musk. That's pretty much it, right? But I would never want to be any of them. Like, there are certain traits of theirs which inspire me and I want to emulate. However, I like being me, right? I like the way I look. I like how strong I am. I like my height and so forth. And so, so yeah, as a very interesting philosophical thought, think that in order to maximize the good in life, you must also maximize the bad, the negative, and the downsides, right? So for example, I think the reason why Seneca has been so meaningful to me, you know, my relationship with him with and stuff, is that like, I have experienced insane amounts of pain and difficulty with him, you know, both mostly physiological, right, and certainly a lot of, you know, the time spent with him and stuff like that. And it's not this weird like self-flagellation, like, oh, you know, then I sacrifice for you so much to do whatever, but actually in fact, your kid is actually an ego of yourself. It's like a mini you, right? Like, so every time I look at Sen, right, I'm like, certainly he's his own person, but he's created in the image of me, or like a more idealized version of myself, or like I'm essentially raising him the way I wish that my dad raised me. And so, in fact, the investment you put into your kid is like investing in yourself, actually. And so even if I was a 100 quadrillionaire, ooh, Lamborghini of the Urus. One thing I love about Phnom Penh is like, you see, I see at least like 4 Rolls Royces a day. But anyways, so even if I was a quadrillionaire, right, I would actually not want to send to daycare or whatever, because I believe myself to be the best trainer and educator and teacher for my kid, and I have so much insane extreme pride in him and his potentiality and his abilities that I don't want to outsource that to anybody else. I mean, at a certain point I'm gonna have to send him to school, right? But then up until then, I'm gonna try my best to be as great of a father and educator to him as possible, is my personal goal. Man, even think about that makes me a little emotional. But anyways, so also I think another thing too is, life becomes more beautiful and interesting when you realize how sad and just and tragic it is. So even one of Nietzsche's thoughts about tragedy, he wrote a book called The Birth of Tragedy, and essentially the idea is, tragedy is not a tonic of catharsis. Rather, tragedy is kind of a stimulus to life, is that in spite of all the tragedy we may experience in life, life is still so beautiful, and tragedy is actually what elevates us and makes our life more beautiful. And I kind of like the idea. And so even with, you think about the most interesting people, right? All the most interesting people in history are alive or dead or whatever, have experienced some sort of tragedy. And typically the more tragedy one has endured yet still trucked on and endured, the more interesting they are, right? Like, it's super sad, like Kanye's mom, she died, right? I think actually, I'm not 100% sure the details, right? But actually, you know, people are like, oh, she died doing plastic surgery, whatever. She's so whatever. But I think actually it was like Kanye's mom was doing like a breast reduction surgery, where she's like, I don't know, maybe her breast or her body, something was too heavy, so she wanted to lighten it to reduce the pain. But anyways, her dying was super tragic, right? And that gave birth to a lot of Kanye's, you know, Donda album and concept and stuff like that. And, you know, even for me, I've had my share of scars growing up, and I'm grateful for them because that's what has made me who I am today. And actually, that's what makes me so optimistic and positive, is a person who's really positive and optimistic isn't somebody who's never endured pain or hardship or whatever. In fact, he or she who has experienced the maximum amount of pain, hardship, but yet somehow overcome it or survived, actually ends up becoming more robust in the long term. And so even with Sen, right, like, I don't want him to be sheltered, and even when I'm, you know, not so nice, I don't hide it from Sen.
Because I also want people to know that people should and must have a wide gamut of emotions, right?
And because now the bias is, we're trying to sterilize humans, we're trying to make them as predictable, nice, and kind, whatever, Ellen DeGeneres, as possible.
But the fact is, every single human being has a certain level of cruelty, of injustice, of quote-unquote badness in them. And even for myself, right, like, I try to be a super nice guy, right? But inwardly, of course, I'm like super judgmental, right?
I was even thinking about like, man,
why do I not like expats so much? Especially when you go to expat-y places. But I'm like, but then again, I'm an expat. So why am I so judgmental? And this is where it's kind of tricky, that there's some people that outwardly, they seem super nice and kind and polite, whatever. But inwardly, they might be like secretly judging you in a very negative way. And so almost in some ways, the best type of person or human being is the one who is actually maximally honest and transparent, even though they may not be the nicest. So in some ways, you should trust the asshole more than the person who seems like a nice guy, because if someone's an asshole, like, already out there, you know what their maximal bad behavior is, right? And then there are a lot of things that they're nice about, right?
But the nice guy, he's probably only a nice guy because he doesn't have the courage to be a bad guy, right?
Another Lamborghini Urus, this one in red.
Some takeaway points, right? One, if you have certain like quote-unquote bad qualities about yourself, right? Rather than trying to hide it or stunt it, maybe it's good to just kind of like let it out. But also conversely, the more of a quote-unquote asshole or a bad person you allow yourself to become, conversely, you must also become more of a nice guy or a good guy or like...
Even a philosophical thought, right? In order to become more loving, you must also become more hateful.
Because the big problem in the internet or culture or America, whatever, is that people seem to be really, really great haters without the love. So the love is
essentially a component, right? So anyone who's like so full of hate, see if they have some love in them. Do they, I don't know, do they just need a hug, right? Like, give your haters a hug, right? And just think to yourself that pain, suffering, badness, tragedy in life isn't to be something extincted or getting rid of, but maybe something that should be increased in order to reach more greatness.